Today we're going to be in 2 Timothy, and we're going to call this, The Word is Not Bound. The Word is Not Bound. And this week I had a lot of different things I was wrestling through preaching, and here's where we ended up. So I'm just trusting that the Lord has something for us, for you, for me in this. The Word is not bound. But before we jump in, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you are Emmanuel, God with us. God, I thank you for truth. I thank you for life. I thank you for freedom. I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us. And Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that the Word of God would be clear. And Lord, that you would speak to us. God, speak to me, speak to us. God, help us to hear, help me to speak. God, I ask for power this morning to speak this the way that I should. And God, I ask, Lord, for ears that are open, that it would land in our hearts. And Father, I ask, Lord, that we'd be able to hear this and to receive this. And Father, in faith, say yes. And God, I just thank you that you're here. We worship you, the living God. We just give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, just verse 8 and 10. We're not going to be in Psalms, but that's good also. You can read that later. But can someone please just read this out loud for everyone before we jump in? Thank you. So we're just going to live here. I'm going to share a bunch of verses. I encourage you to write them down, visit them later. But this was written by a guy named Paul. This is the Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament. This guy was a stud, if there ever was one in the Christian faith. Like, this is a man that God rescued, that God had chosen to be his vessel, to take the gospel to people who had never heard about Jesus before. And he used to be a persecutor of Christians. He used to haul Christians out into jail and throw them away. He hated Christians. And actually, the first martyr in the New Testament, his name was Stephen. He was right there. He was right there. And Jesus, when he encountered him, said that you're going to suffer a lot of things for my name. Imagine that. When you finally say yes to Jesus, the word to you is, you're going to suffer a lot for my name. Who would sign up for that? But Paul did, because he was blind and the Lord allowed him to see. Like, He encountered the gospel. He encountered the good news. And he's like, I have to. That's that verse we said right at the beginning, Romans 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, even though the gospel ruined his life in so many ways. You know, it caused him pain, caused him suffering. He's like, I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. So this is Paul, like, a guy who is well-versed in hardship and well-versed in giving his life fully to the work of God. So 2 Timothy is actually the last book, the last letter that he has written. So it's the last kind of form of communication that we have from Paul before he was executed in Rome. And just to kind of put you there, so this was written to a guy named Timothy, and Timothy was one of kind of like the people coming after him. He was kind of like a child, a spiritual child to Paul. And first it's Timothy, and 2 Timothy is like this impartation. It's like this download to Timothy, because Paul knows that his time is almost done. And he's like passing all this instruction on to Timothy because it's his turn. And beloved, one thing you need to know is that as you receive, this is part of the Christ life. Like, that you don't receive, 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 and die and you're done. Like, part of the Christ life is everything that you have received, you pass it on to others. And this is what Paul is modeling. Like he is instructing Timothy to continue to carry the torch even after he is gone. And honestly, the only reason you're here is because someone carried that torch. I've heard a lot of studies done about, you know, like even questions like, is this the last Christian generation? You know, there's so much talk about people just falling from the faith. And why is that? The baton's not passed on, you know, or the baton's rejected. So part of following Jesus is passing on what we've received. And that's what Paul is doing. And Paul is a man who knew a lot of trials. He'd been in jail already in Rome once for a span of about 2 years. And it's thought that it was probably like a house prison. So he just had to stay in his house and people could visit him. So that had happened before. He'd already been in prison for 2 years. And then he was out. This is kind of like piecing together. He was out. He did some travels, preached a lot. And now he's back in prison. And he's back in prison in Rome. And this time it's not a house, you know, prison. He's actually in jail. And he's just waiting for his sentence. And we gather that he was actually shackled. He was bound. This wasn't like a jail like we have now where you can watch TV. And like, it was terrible. And that's how he is finishing his days. That's what's happening to Paul. And that's honestly, when this was written, that was his reality. Okay? This wasn't like he was in a Starbucks writing a letter to a friend. Like, he is in prison. It's damp and wet and terrible. But in this time, he still feels the mantle of the gospel. And like I said, this is one of the last letters that he wrote. And this was a time when Nero, who was in charge of Rome at that time, hated Christians. He actually set Rome on fire and blamed the Christians. So right along this time is when massive persecution is breaking out. So he's in the thick of it. He's in prison. He's suffering along other Christians, and he is speaking to Timothy, and he is charging him with how do we continue to walk this out? How do we carry this out? So he jumps in, and he says, remember Jesus Christ. Maybe we should just have a sermon on that. Remember Jesus Christ. Beloved, can I tell you that this morning? Remember Jesus Christ. Everything in your life is going to try to sway away from that. It's going to try to lessen that attention. It's going to challenge that. There's going to be distractions. And Paul is saying to Timothy, remember Jesus. No matter what happens, no matter what you face, whether it's opposition or just being discouraged, whatever it is, remember Jesus. Keep him first. Center your life on him. This is where it all starts. This is where it all ends. This is the whole story. Remember Jesus. And that's how he's charging Timothy. Remember Jesus. Beloved, if you got that straight in your life, we don't need any more sermons. Like, good. You know what I mean? I mean, there's more to it, but that's it. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. He's talking about the gospel. We're singing about it all this morning. How Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was God, who was part of the creation of the world, was in heaven, emptied himself of power, became a servant, became a baby, was born, and walked with us. He was God with us, like we said. And he paid for our sins by carrying not just the punishment physically, but carrying the whole weight of sin on his shoulders. He suffered, bled, and died for our sins. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave and conquered sin and death. And now he's seated at the right hand of God. This is it. This is our victory. This is our story as Christians. This isn't just another way to think. You know, like there's lots of different ways to think about life. No, this is God rescuing mankind. And the victory was won. He rose from the dead. So he's saying, remember Jesus and remember that he rose from the grave. You know, like, it's the gospel. It's the good news about Jesus. He has conquered death. He has conquered everything that we fight. He's conquered it. He's victorious. So remember that he rose from the dead. And he is alive. He's alive. And even though sometimes we go through life and it seems pretty normal, it doesn't seem like God's sitting on the right throne ruling and reigning, it's true. He's alive. And it's already done. He already conquered. He already conquered. So remember Jesus, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. So David was a king in the Old Testament. And it was said that the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one, was going to come through the line of David. He was going to be a king. And his kingdom would never end. Isn't that awesome? So remember Jesus. I want you to remember that his kingdom is never going to end. So don't get stuck here. Even though life seems pretty enormous and consuming sometimes, like, Jesus and his kingdom will never end. And then he says, as preached in my gospel. Now, he's not saying, like, I wrote that baby. I wrote the baby. No, that's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is, like, this is the gospel that I preached to you. And here's the deal. There were a lot of other people having spins on the message of Jesus. Lots of different ways of people talking about it. And honestly, a lot of it was wrong. A lot of it was wrong. So if you read the Old Testament, I mean the New Testament, again and again, you see Paul talking about his gospel and talking about false teachers, talking about people who are messing the message, watering it down, twisting it. And beloved, this isn't because people are like that. It's because our enemy is like that. Like, the enemy of Jesus is Satan. He wants to seek and kill and destroy. He wants to lie and he wants to twist truth. In fact, he'll take a half-truth. And that would be a small victory for him. So Paul is saying, like, remember the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one I gave to you? Like, make sure you discern the truth. Make sure you discern the gospel. And beloved, like, we live in a time that's crazy with a lot of different gospels. Can I encourage you? Read this. Read this. And be careful who you listen to. Because there's a lot of people leading a lot of people astray because they've just twisted it. So even this morning, as I'm talking, if I'm off, like, don't throw anything up to me. Like, talk to me, okay? But this is our authority. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. So Paul is saying, man, remember Jesus. Remember the good news. Remember that it is true. Nothing else is. But this is the truth. So that's how he started, a pretty thick line. Honestly, so much of the New Testament, like, you could just park, sit in it. Man, what is this? It's deep. So he's talking about this gospel, this good news, and he said, for which I'm suffering. So he wasn't suffering because he jaywalked, or he didn't do anything bad. Like, he is suffering because he's given his life to this, living it and sharing it. And that's why he was suffering. And as I was thinking about that, you know, Jesus, when he left, just said, you know, like, there's a cost to following me. You know, and he said, the whole world hated me. They're going to hate you also. And beloved, you need to know that that is still true today. We live in a place that doesn't like Christianity. When I say Christianity, I'm not talking about soft and fluffy Christianity. What I'm talking about is followers of Jesus who believe that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, that no one comes to the Father but him. That's a hard pill to swallow where we're in. And so he's saying, like, that message, I'm actually suffering for. And one thing I was thinking of is we really do believe a radical message. And this is about dead things coming to life. So this really is about death and life. This is about eternity. There is a lot at stake with this message. So as followers of Jesus, we have a message and we're called to be messengers of that. Like, being a Christian isn't just about believing the right thing. It's about being ushered into the family of God and walking that out. That's it. Like, you don't just get to be a bench player in the kingdom of God. It's like, once you're in, like, you're part of the family. You're part of the body. You're part of the call of God. He loves the world so much. And you know what? He left so that we would be here. That's why Jesus left. Don't you think it'd be easier for Jesus to be like, you know what, guys? Just believe in me, but I'll handle it. That's not what Jesus did. He said, it's better that I leave. But you know what? I'll give you the Holy Spirit. I will put the Holy Spirit in you. He'll give you power. He'll give you the words. And you know what? He's going to change your life. You're going to be a new creation. And you know what? God is going to use you. I'm going to give the gospel to you, and you are going to be my witnesses everywhere you go. See, the message needs a messenger, and that messenger is you. Isn't that awesome? I love being a Christian. Like, if anyone's bored being a Christian, it's because you're sleeping, you know? Look at the life that God is calling us to. I mean, it's a little scary, it's a little stressful sometimes, but it's not boring. Far from it. And beloved, people have died for what we believe in. I mean, think about that. People have died because of what we believe in. Even now, all across the world, it's unbelievable. Like, I'm thankful that we're not there, but there are people all over the world who die because of this faith. They believe that it's true, even to the point of death. Isn't that crazy? That's what we believe in. Like I said, this isn't fluffy Christianity. It's life and death, and it's eternity. So Paul is saying, like, I'm suffering. I'm literally suffering because of this message. But look at this, bound with chains as a criminal. He wasn't a criminal, but he was bound with chains, restricted, limited, punished because of this good news. But then he says this, but the word of God is not bound. That's the heart of my message. Like, I am bound, but the word of God is not bound. Isn't that awesome? Amen. I want to talk about that this morning. I want to unpack that because that's so thick. As I read that, I was like, wow. You know, so here's Paul, supposedly supposed to be given his life for this gospel. Now he's sidelined. He's thrown off to the side. He's of no effect. He's shackled. Like, what can I do? You know, he's literally what, and Paul doesn't have the perspective that we have. You know, like, it's easy to say, oh, Paul, but you're going to write these letters to your friend, and it's going to travel over the whole world and change lives. Like, he's in prison. That's his reality. But Paul had something that we often don't have, and that's perspective. That's an understanding of the truth. And he knew that it wasn't about him. So even though he was limited, even though he was shackled, he knew that the word of God can't stop. The word of God, the message of the gospel, is not contingent on my limitations. Isn't that awesome? I'm bound, I'm shackled, but the word of God is not bound. You know, so many times throughout history, rulers have sought to eradicate Christianity, get rid of Bibles, like wipe this off. But you know what? The word of God cannot be bound. Isn't that awesome? It's not contingent on you. I think of Isaiah 55 that says this, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and don't return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes from my mouth, it shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the very thing in which I sent it." Is that good? The word of God, the spoken word of God, the word of God, like, it is not bound. It is not limited. And you know what's amazing? It's like we've been given a message, and the message needs messengers, but we're so limited. Like, there's so many ways in our life that we're like, I'm bound here. Like, I don't have the ability to do what you're calling me to. But you know what? And Jesus is not stressing. Why? Because the word of God is not bound. Paul's bound, but not the word of God. And one thing I think is amazing is, in spite of Paul's circumstance, the word's going to go forward. In spite of what's happening in his life, God's going to work for good. Isn't that amazing? There's this verse, one of these popular, famous verses in the Bible that is so profound. It's Paul when he says that all things work together for good for those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. All things work for good. So here's Paul. He wrote that. He's in prison. He knows his life's supposed to be for the gospel, but he is absolutely silent. But the faith of Paul says this, it's going to work for good for all those who love him, called according to his purpose. And you know what? His good and your good. For the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because I'm shackled. How is this going to work for good, God? How is it going to work for good that I'm in jail? I have irons around my wrist. How is this going to be for good? You're going to write a letter and the whole world's going to be changed. For starters. You know? Like, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are so much higher. So in spite of Paul's circumstance, he's like, it's not going to stop what I want to do in and through your life. So beloved, what I want to encourage you with is, regardless of what circumstance you're in, regardless of what relationships you're in, whatever trouble is in your life, it doesn't matter. Why? The word isn't bound. You're limited. You're bound by things. Whatever that is, financial, emotional, whatever circumstance that is, it doesn't matter because the word of God's not bound. Isn't that so good? So there's freedom to walk with Jesus and expect that he's just going to use your life where you are. So often I think we want ways around things, and that's just not the way of Jesus. Sometimes he gets you around, but oftentimes he's going to provide a way through. And you know what? The way through is going to advance the kingdom of God. Amazing. So in spite of that, he's going to work. Because through it, he's actually going to use the circumstance to promote the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And you know what? The gospel isn't just things to believe. Like, it's lived out in our life. Like, we're living examples of this. We're on display. We need to get that. We are on display in your workplace. You are on display in your neighborhood. You are on display. What does a living relationship with God look like? You're on display. Everywhere you go. And no matter what happens, God can use it. And I think of Philippians 1, Paul says this, "I want you to know, brothers, that what happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." He's saying, you know, like, I've been in jail, but I want you to know that being in jail has actually advanced the gospel, so that it's become known throughout the whole imperial guard, and to the rest of my imprisonment is for Christ and for the brothers, having become confident in the Lord of by my imprisonment as much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. So he's saying, like, I'm in jail, and you guys are like, ah, what a loss. You know, like, here's this great man of God, and now he's just in jail. He's like, no. That's not how it works in the kingdom of God. Because I'm here sent by God. Like, this is part of God's plan. He is sovereign over us, right? We're just saying that. So here am I in prison, and it's actually being used to advance the gospel. People are hearing about Jesus because of my bad situation. You know, and he's like, people are becoming bold because of my hard situation. And some of you guys know this, but I lost my house in the fire. And, you know, like, it's interesting. It's one thing to go through it, that bites, but to step back and have spiritual perspective, knowing God's ways are not our ways, and knowing that God is going to call you through hard things, that you would have a testimony of Jesus in it. So I believe I had to lose my house. I had to, because the Lord wanted me to go through that, that I would be a living testimony of Jesus through the fire. Through the fire, through the flood. And beloved, we're all called to that. We're not, following Jesus isn't about a cakewalk and an easy life. It's, I will rescue you and save you through the fire. Isn't that amazing? That's how it works. That's how it works. Just a few verses before, Paul says that we're supposed to share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You know, it's interesting, having just talked about baptism, but this is what we're signing up for as followers of Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no matter what, no matter what. You know, I want to take this thought a little bit further. You know, like, I'm in chains, I'm shackled, but the Word of God is not bound. And beloved, like, this truth carries out through the whole Scripture with all of our lives. That we are lacking, we fall short, like, we don't have it in us. So oftentimes we just run out, like, we don't have the capacity, the ability, the knowledge, the strength to go on, to do the things God's calling us to do. And you know what? It doesn't matter, because it's not about you. Paul, actually, another time in 2 Corinthians, he says that he had a thorn in his side, and we don't really know what that is, but it was called a messenger from Satan. So this was something physically happening, but it was a spiritual attack on him. And he was like, God, get rid of this. This is limiting me. This is getting in the way of what I'm supposed to do. Make it stop. I can't do this, God. And the Word of God came to me and it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, period. That's what Jesus said. My grace is sufficient. Like, the favor of God, the unmerited blessing of God is enough for you in this terrible situation, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Beloved, you need to know that that's good news. I know you're trying to look beautiful because it's Sunday, but man, we're all so human and we're all so weak. And his power is perfect in weakness. So do you know what Paul says? You know what? I'm going to boast in my weakness that the power of God may rest on me. And then he says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Amazing. Amazing. I'm limited, I'm in shackles, I'm bound, but the Word of God is not bound. God can work around us, through us. Like, he's not bound, so you are. Good morning, you're bound. Good morning, you're limited. Good morning, like, you don't have it in you. But he is not bound like you are. He's God. This is his world. He's not bound. He's going to use you. He's going to work through you. He's going to work around you. Like, his kingdom's going to advance. The gates of hell aren't going to stop it. He's not bound like you are. And beloved, this is the rest of God. Like, you can cease. You can be still, knowing that he is God. You can have peace because it's not on you. Isn't that awesome? The Word of God is not bound. Even though we're limited, God is not limited. And because of that, because of that, he says, therefore, I will endure everything. Wow. I will endure everything for the sake of the elect. Those are the people who are chosen by God for salvation. For the people to know Jesus and be rescued by him. I will endure everything. Isn't that crazy? So the word of God is not bound, but he's going to endure everything so that the elect, like, they will be saved. Isn't that crazy? God isn't going to work around him. He's going to work through Paul in his bad situation. So therefore, I will endure everything. Beloved, one of the calls of God on us as Christians is to endure, is to persevere, is to not give up, even though that sounds like a really good idea sometimes, definitely easier. It's to persevere, to keep going, even when you're limited, even though your circumstance isn't playing out that well, is to keep going. Why? It's for the sake of others, right? How is God ever going to use this? It's not up to you. God's going to use it. Why? The word of God's not bound. But he always uses messengers to live out the message. Isn't that awesome? But beloved, so often it is through suffering. It is through hardship. It's not going to be easy. But this is the truth. You know, I think of Peter, you know, like Jesus talks to him, is like, are you going to leave me too? Because this is hard. And Peter's like, where else are we going to go for the words of eternal life? You know, beloved, what else is there? You know, what else is there? A lot of people chasing a lot of things. But when all is said and done, there is only going to be one king, and his name is Jesus. He is the Lord over all lords. He is the king over all kings. He suffered for you. He loves you, and he is victorious in all things, and he is the last man standing. So we endure for the sake of others. And even though we're limited, even though we're bound, even though there's things we're stuck in, he's not stuck. The word of God is not bound. Amen?
Amen.
Miguel, why don't you come up? As I was thinking and praying about this, like, we are talking about being messengers, about the gospel moving forward through our lives, but one of the greatest hindrances in our lives is that we just feel so stuck sometimes. We feel sidelined. We feel like we can't move on. We feel like we're not going anywhere. And these are all lies from the enemy. And what I want to do this morning is just sit in this place of one, just confessing. If that's you this morning, like, just to come to the Lord with that. And God, I feel bound. I feel stuck. I know that you want to do something, but I got nothing. And I want you to be encouraged that that's okay, because the word of God isn't bound. God isn't bound because of your life. And I also want to invite you to prayer. If you want to have someone pray for you, to stand with you in prayer. There'll be someone in the back to pray with you. God, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that nothing is impossible for you. God, I thank you that we get to be a part of this story. God, I thank you, Lord, that it's okay to be weak. It's okay to be honest with where we're at, because you're greater than our hearts and you know everything. So, God, we love you. God, I just pray for rest in this space. And God, that you would free us from the burden of trying to do it all on our own. We love you, God. Amen. Let's worship. If you need prayer.